Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yes, he is. Doug Oster, the organic gardener, moments away. But let's set the stage by offering that $25 gift certificate to the incredible place right off that Wexford exit that is Sorgles. If you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you win it. Davey Tree, Talkin' Tree, Mr. Countryman, in just about 25 minutes. Doug's got a lot to get to. First two segments, though. We'd also like to get your gardening questions in here. So if you have a gardening question, 866-391-1020. Here he is, star of the show, the man in the know, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Rob. I was just warning everybody again, if you don't call in here with your garden questions, Rob and I are going to talk about some obscure Rifleman episodes and character actors who worked on the series from 58 to 64. So if you don't want to hear that, give us a call with your garden questions. And yesterday I took the dogs out, and what was standing in my fenced-in vegetable garden but a big deer. Oh, man, I spooked him and saw where he was coming and going, so did a little bit of shore up on the fence, but I'm going to do more today. And, oh, I am so sick of the deer. They've got the whole forest now. It's leafing out. Go out there and eat. And I've had a lot of questions about the cold. Don't worry about the cold as long as you didn't jump the gun. Young producer Zach here told me that they wanted to get their peppers and tomatoes in the ground like last week, and I was just like, no, 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 no! I had, you know, news department called me here from the radio wondering about the cold. Trees, shrubs, perennials, any cold weather veggies you put in, no sweat. Don't worry about it. Even I had people on Facebook saying, you know, I posted a bunch of spring garden pictures. You better cover things up. No, there's no reason to. These plants can take it. But if you did jump the gun and you put something out there that was tender, I do know somebody, where was I? Was telling me I already had beans out and up. And I said, well, and he said, well, should I dig them up? I said, that's not going to work either. The only thing you could do is cover them with a floating row cover, which is the spun-bound translucent fabric that's really lightweight. The plants hold it up, but don't push the season. You know, even May 20th, for tomatoes and peppers is early, and it's not about the air temperature, it's about the soil temperatures. Those plants are just going to sit there and be miserable. When we get closer, we'll talk a little bit more about it, and I'm telling you what, just get out there and enjoy the spring garden, because especially as the sun goes down, that, you know, the light has changed, you know, the angle of the sun as it does. And boy, I just can't tell you how much enjoyment I get out of being in the garden. But it is sad to see the daffodil season come to an end, in my garden at least. You do have probably one last week here to go down and see Joe Hamm's garden in Washington, northern Washington County. All that information's at DougOster.com. That is the greatest collection of daffodils. And all the late ones will be doing their thing now. All that's left in my garden is a few just little poeticus ones, and then the one I love, Sir Winston Churchill. That one, just the fragrance on that is so beautiful. And I walked by one the other day, and I picked it and just walked around and smelled it, and thinking, like, I'm going to have to wait another whole year to smell this again, but that's the garden, you know. And as you get older, you wonder, how many more daffodil seasons do I have? Hopefully many. At the nurseries, oh man, pansies, you know, if you want to plant something, pansies and violas, they love this cool weather. You know, I've been planting all over the garden, and I had pansies. This just shows you how tough they are. They overwintered, and they're blooming again now. And so there's nothing left Mother Nature has in her to stop them. And then I also had some Dusty Miller overwinter, and that's exciting because it doesn't happen that often in my garden. But when it does, they flower, and they're what's called biennial. First year is just the foliage. Second year they'll flower, and then they'll die. But you get these beautiful bright yellow flowers. When I travel around to these climates, like Italy in particular, Dusty Miller's everywhere blooming because there's no winter to kill it, like our winter. And it's just such a beautiful plant that second year. And the Dusty Miller, that's available at the nursery. But again, I've been to the nursery, and I've seen all the tender stuff out there. You know, they'll tell you, you know, don't plant it yet. I bought three peppers just because I really loved the varieties, a couple different Italian varieties. But I'm putting them in the greenhouse. You know, even when it gets this cold, even it's going to get this cold, and my greenhouse is unheated. So, but still, there's enough protection in there for tomatoes and peppers to do their thing. And when the sun comes out, it was 90 degrees in there yesterday. The other thing you might be able to throw into right now would be some snapdragons. I saw nurseries had those, and lots of other cool weather vegetables, the plants and seeds at the nurseries. You know, I've got this lettuce I've been talking about called Flashy Troutback. Another one that looks like it is called Freckles, and it is just going nuts in the garden. That's how I knew something was going on in the garden, because one of those little butterheads was being chewed on. And I said, well, I can't be a rabbit. How is a deer getting in here? So now I know. But I'm planting lettuce and radishes, carrot seeds, beets, onion sets, onion plants, peas, arugula. There's all this cool weather stuff can go in. And I'm also on the hunt for Easter lilies. I saw them one place 50% off. It's going to get better than that. And with Easter lilies, what I do is, you know, I wait until the flowers are gone because they're really going to be cheap then. And then just swoop in and I'll plant them, and I have to wait all the way until next year to see them bloom next summer. But it's worth the wait. You know, working in the garden yesterday, I'm realizing that I'm still feeling, their garden's still feeling the effects of two winters ago, that polar vortex we had. And especially this one plant, everything has come back except this one plant. It's called Caria with a K, and it's just an absolute wonderful shrub, but it's taken 2 years to come back. All right, Rob, let's go to the phones.
All right, 866-391-1020. Here's Suzanne, wants to talk vines with Doug Oster on The Organic Gardener on KDK. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. Good morning to you both. Doug, I have a question. I have a large patch, maybe 30 feet by 30 feet. I don't know. I'm bad at that. But anyway, it's a pachysandra. And in the pachysandra has started to grow this vine. I always call it a vinca. I don't know, but it's very viney, and it has a purple flower on
That's vinca vine.
Yes. Now, is that going to kill my pachysandra? Do I have to get it all out?
Nope. They'll live together, and I wouldn't worry about it if you can stand the vinca vine. You know, I've got vinca vine growing under a big maple tree, and if it can grow under a maple tree, it can grow anywhere, and it can grow in consort with the pachysandra. You'll be okay. How do you feel about that vinca vine?
Well, it's lovely, but it worried me because it is very viney, and if you're in there, you can trip over it because it's like wire.
Yep, it sure is. You know, if you wanted to get in there and kind of snip a few out of there, that would work. But, you know, if you're talking an area that big, it's going to be a pain. And how much time do you spend walking through that pachysandra?
Well, I really don't. It was all pachysandra, and then all of a sudden, somehow in the last few years, I was able to pull out what started in the springtime, but now it's overtaken. And I just wondered if it was going to kill the pachycander, if I should leave it alone.
No. And if you're really worried about it, you could throw some fertilizer on there. Just get a couple bags of plant tone or garden tone from the nursery. It's inexpensive, easy to find. It'll feed both plants, but it might make it so you don't have to worry. You know, pachycandra is tough. It can take just about anything, and it would be happy to be growing in consort with that vinca vine, and I wouldn't worry about it, but you're obviously worried about it, and I would just get a couple bags of fertilizer. They're about $8 a piece. Sprinkle it down, and I think you'll be okay.
Okay, one other question. Mm-hmm. I also have hyacinths. I know you're not to cut the leaves of your daffodils, but what about the hyacinths? Can I cut that down?
No, same thing. Same thing. You want them to start to change color because they're going to take, you know, the energy that's in that foliage is what's going to go down into that bulb. And I know that the downside of having bulbs is this time of the year when the foliage is degrading. But I always tell people, if you're looking at those hyacinths and that foliage is starting to look awful, just look a little bit to the left at something that's doing good and then get through the season that way. You know, about 6 weeks to 8 weeks after bloom, for most bulbs, you can remove the foliage. I don't, because it doesn't bother me, but if it's driving you nuts, you know, wait until, you know, they're yellowish brown, and then you could remove it, and I think you'll be okay.
Thank you so much for your help. Always appreciate it.
Thanks for your call.
All right, for those of you on hold, we'll get to you in a moment. We'd love to hear from you. Gardening questions of all kinds. Welcome now with Doug, 866-391-1020. Break out your clubs for a great cause, May 28th. At the Valley Brook Country Club, Shenderovich, and Fishman are hosting a golf tournament to benefit two. It's about the warrior veterans. All funds raised will go to these two individuals who served and sacrificed for our country. To participate, visit 98twinsgolf.com. All right, 866-391-1020. Let's go to Keith in Moon for Doug Oster on KDKA. Good morning, Keith.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Doug. Hey, did you ever see that one episode of Lost in Space? No. Hey, Doug. Hey, last year I took a crack at growing ice. I grew some tomatoes and peppers and a couple cucumbers in containers. I had pretty good success with the peppers. Tomatoes were moderate, and cucumbers were not too bad. I was just wanting to. And when I did my soil, this is the first time I grew anything. My soil, I kind of got some couple bags. I had a ratio of two bags of potting soil and like one compost. Was that?
That sounds about right. That sounds good. My only question to start off with is how big are the containers? Because bigger is better.
Yeah, that's going to be my. You know, I learned a lot last year, so that's going to be one of my adjustments. Bigger containers and fill them to the top.
That's the thing. The hardest one of those things you were talking about for containers are tomatoes. And the one thing that can't happen with tomatoes is that soil cannot dry out. And if the container's too small, you know, we get to about June 15, and the tomato has gotten so big and the roots have gotten so big, it's almost impossible to keep up with the watering. And so I always advise a 15-gallon container as the minimum for one tomato plant. And when you grew those tomatoes last year, were they like full-size tomatoes or cherries, or what were they?
Yeah, they were bigger. They've beef steaks, I think.
Okay.
And I forget some of the names. Supersonic was one.
That is a great one. The first person I met as a garden friend here, who unfortunately has passed away, when I moved to Pittsburgh in 98, that was his tomato, man. He loved Supersonic, and you know, it was named back in an era where, you know, Supersonic was a cool thing, but as you know, the name kind of fell out of favor. But that is a great tomato. How did that Supersonic do for you?
You know, I didn't get any tomatoes to get real big. They were, you know, only about the size of a baseball or so, you know, kind of like that, you know.
Well, that's about how big the Supersonic gets. The other thing I would recommend for you is, like, fertilizing almost every time you water. And we had the guys from Dram on last week, but you can find any kind of fertilizer. I love this one, and I talk about it all the time, and so I hope that's not – you know, boring people, but it's called Dramatic with two M's, and and it's just a liquid concentrate. And I actually mixed some up in the greenhouse the other day where you just put 2 ounces in a gallon of water, and then you feed the plants. And I think that'll help all your container plants. But find some kind of good liquid fertilizer, like that organic liquid fertilizer that you buy as a concentrate, because it's cheap that way. You mix it up. And then whenever it's dry, use that as your watering medium, and the plants will go nuts. Because the other thing is peppers and cucumbers, they're fine for containers. Another thing to think about for cucumbers is there are varieties that are suited for growing in containers. They stay a little smaller. So think about that, too. The same would be true for tomatoes. Yeah, just the tomatoes that, you know, a one called Super Bush is one I love for containers that you can find pretty easily. So okay. Think about those things.
My question is, I took all my, emptied all my pots and, like dumped them on the tarp and covered them up, you know, so I can, you know, reuse the soil. So the soil, just use the same soil as I had last year.
I would fill up the containers 3/4 with what you used last year, and then put a quarter of them in the containers, a quarter new stuff. And then continue that fertilization process during the season, and you'll be good.
Like a new compost, or just a
just a quarter of the container of compost on the top will give those plants a little bit of a boost. All right.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call.
All right, we got time for one more before the bottom of the hour. Here's Patty and Shaler on KDK with Doug Oster. Hi, Patty.
Good morning. I have an azalea bush that's been in the same spot for 41 years. Last year, I noticed little bits of it were dying off, and I thought it was just the cold for the winter. And now I've noticed this year, the whole front of it is dying off. What is wrong with it?
Without seeing it, I'm not sure. But first off, dead is dead. Any part of that plant that if you go out there and kind of scrape it or try and bend it and it just snaps and it's just brown, remove it.
It's not brittle.
Okay,
yet.
So it's still flexible.
Yeah, the back of the bush is leaves and green and everything. It's just the front of it that is dying off.
So here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. I would get a bag of something called Holly Tone, and you can find it at any good nursery, and just kind of, actually the best way to do it is kind of dig it in a little bit, but you don't want to mess with those azalea roots. I use this thing called a ball bogger. It's like a big drill bit, and I just drill around the roots and throw that fertilizer down in there. But you could just kind of scratch it in and water it in. It's a granular fertilizer. Again, like the bag is like maybe $10, but it's good stuff. It's been around since the 30s. It's organic, and it's specifically formulated so for that type of plant that loves acidic soil. And I would do read the application rates on the bag. In the spring, we do a heavier dose, and then we do it again later in the season, not quite as much. And then repeat that again next spring, and you'll be surprised at what that Holly Tone will do for that plant.
Okay, now should I cut all the dead off of the azalea?
Only if you know that it's actually dead, which means...
Brittle and breaking
is dead, but you know, maybe it'll come back for you with a little bit of fertilizer.
Okay, great. Thank you, Doug. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for listening.
All right, coming up, Arbor Day, how to plant a tree, Eric Huntsman.
Yeah, he's going to give us all the details on the right way to plant a tree, and it's very important to follow these procedures, and I've got a lot of questions for him, too. I posted on Facebook, so I've got questions from listeners also that want to ask him about some things with trees, too, and My friend Greg from Power Planter says, why don't you use a big, giant auger to plant your trees? And I'm going to ask him about that, too. Maybe they do that.
All right, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
Our friend Eric Countryman from the Davy Tree Expert Company is here to tell us how to plant a tree. And Eric and I actually did a Penguins game together and gave away some Davy swag, right?
Yes, we did.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
So it's planting time, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
When is the earliest you guys start planting?
I usually wait until, you know, the hard frosts are over. A lot of times it's hard to find something to plant. You know, nurseries and garden centers don't have a lot of stock. And if anything needs to be taken, you know, from a field, you know, that needs to be cut and balled and burlapped, then they may not have done it yet. And if it's real, you know, the fields are soggy or they're frozen, they're not going to go, you know, pull the trees out. So usually 1st of April, you start seeing, you know, things kind of get ready and get going.
And talk about soggy. I mean, all we've got is rain. I crossed the river this morning and it still looks like chocolate milk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start off with bald and burlap versus bare root versus in a container. Tell me a little bit about your preferences, or I guess what those three things are and the importance of which, how do I choose which one I want to do?
I would say your bald and burlapped is sort of my preferred. I think you can get a pretty good sized tree that way. So you're already kind of ahead of the game. You know, things are 1 or 2 inch trunk diameter. And you're cutting out that root ball with the soil it's been grown in the field, and the roots are, you know, yes, you are severing the roots by doing that, but you know, you can put them in and they're pretty stable. Container size is good for really small stuff. You know, you're really littler trees, but mm-hmm. You have to remember they've been grown in those containers. So you got to break that root ball up and, you know, get it separated. If not, the tree's never going to grow. And then bare root, you know, is really for very, very small plants. Any, you know, if you try to bare root plant larger things, you know, it doesn't have a root ball. So you do have to do a lot to secure it and tie it up. And
So,
not my favorite, especially, you know, around in the front yard or something.
Sure. So we have our tree, whether it's bald and burlapped or in a container. Talk about digging the planting hole.
Yeah, so you want to make sure the hole is, you know, deep enough to get that root ball in, and but you want it level with the surrounding ground, and you want to look for the trunk to root flare. So there's kind of there's usually a line. There might even be a little furrow in the bark where you can see where it turns from trunk into root, and at that point, that's where you want to have that, you know, right at or just even a little bit above the, you know, the flat ground around you. And then you want to make sure the hole is about 1.5 times wider than the root ball that you're putting in, that way you can have loose soil around it and give room for new roots to move into, you know, softer, uncompacted soil and be able to get established a little easier.
So I've seen Davy arborists do this, and I didn't realize that you had to do this, but to find that root flare, sometimes you've got to do that. You've got to kind of gently brush the bottom of the trunk off to find that where that root flare is, right?
You may, yeah. So it's a bald and burlapped, you know, the whole ball will be wrapped up, covered with the burlap. You got to take that off. And sometimes you'll find that the nursery you got it from it already cleaned, you know, called cleaning the top of that root ball off, taking that first couple inches, because in the nurseries, they do plant them quite low on purpose. Good nurseries will knock that extra soil off. Mm-hmm. Some don't, and so you have to do it yourself. But it's important you check that before you put the tree in the hole and then realize, oh boy, it's going to be way too deep.
And then I've seen arborists also how they kind of just use a shovel to measure before they put the plant in, the tree in, to be sure that it's not too deep. And that's what we're worried about, right, is getting too deep.
Yeah, too deep is definitely worse than too high. You run the risk of it being below where it's going to get any oxygen to the roots, or it's going to be just sitting in a clay pot and not really, you know, able to grow. Definitely see more long-term damage from trees being, you know, really way too deep than high.
And in general, we are keeping that native soil there, right? Not adding compost or anything like that.
I don't really recommend it. I don't think it's necessary. Our native soil is pretty good. You know, just make sure you're not backfilling with huge clumps of clay. You know, make sure you're breaking it up and giving that room for oxygen and air to get near the roots. If you're just putting big, huge lumps of clay that you pulled out of the hole, and you're not really doing much good.
Now, digging that hole, I had my friend Greg runs this company called Power Planter, and I use a little auger for planting bulbs. But he just mentioned on my Facebook page, and he was like, you know, for big tree, you could use a big auger to do that hole. Is that okay?
It is. But again, you still want to make sure that that auger hole is going to be 1.5 to 2 times the size of the root ball that you're putting in. So that way you can surround that with some loose soil. But it is good if you if you're using an auger and you realize the sides of that planting hole are real glazed because it just gets real, real smooth. Maybe you got to go in there with a shovel or a pick and even loosen up the sides of the planting hole wall just to give it a little bit, you know, again, more room for those roots to be able to establish.
And when you're planting a tree in the spring like this, are you putting like rope on there to keep it straight, or you don't have to, or does it depend on the situation?
For me, it depends on the situation. I actually kind of believe if you don't have to stake a tree, maybe don't. Give it, you know, has to use its own sort of support to root and be strong. But then again, if you're planting it in a windy place or place where it's easy to get knocked over, maybe, you know, the staking could be really helpful.
Let's also talk about right tree, right place. And, oh, Eric, you know the feeling, especially new construction, driving by and seeing where some of these trees have been planted. Yes, it might look good today, but in 5 years, you're going to be calling your arborist and he's going to have to bring a chainsaw.
Yeah, we make a lot of a work for ourselves by people planting trees, really big stuff right next to the house. Or unfortunately, you know, the worst is when they're planted like along a street and they're, you know, 100-foot tall oaks under 30-foot tall power lines.
Right.
You know, we know what the power company does. But yeah, I think it's important when you're researching what you want to plant is not only is it pretty, do I like it, is it going to be healthy, but also how big is this thing going to get? And if it says it's going to get 40 to 50 feet wide, you probably don't want to plant it, you know, 6 feet off the house. You'll just have a lot of problems forever and ever with it. So just, I'd say do the research on how big things get and make sure you give the tree some space to fill out.
How do you get that kind of discipline? Because what happens to people is they see the little itty bitty tree, you know, however big it is, and think, okay, you know, I tell the story all the time where I had somebody bring me a plant marker and said, how is this going to be for a container in my back porch? And I said, this tree's going to get 30 feet tall. And they say, oh, I'll just trim it. I'll just trim the top of it to keep it short. That's not the way it works, right?
Not really. I mean, you can, but you're going to treating trees like shrubs is not going to be good for the tree overall. They just aren't built to be pruned like that. And so you're going to basically struggle to keep it at its right size, you know, at the size you're trying to keep it at. And even if you do, it probably not be healthy for it. So yeah, again, there are some growth regulators that are available if you need to kind of keep the growth in check, but even still that doesn't shrink them. That just, maybe they don't grow as much every year.
Slows them down a little bit. All right, Eric, hang in there. Take a break, and then we'll have you back. And if you've got any tree questions, give us a call, 866-391-1020. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts like Eric from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Back with more in a moment. So if you need some tree questions answered, now would be a perfect time to give us a call, 866-391-1020, because Eric Countryman, Davey Tree, Talkin' Tree, Arbor Day, Plantin' Trees, and more with Doug. So call us, 866-391-1020. Doug?
Back with Eric Countryman, and Eric, we're talking about planting trees. I wanted to discuss with you so-called deer resistance on trees. I mentioned in the top of the show that I walked into my vegetable garden, and there was a deer standing there, and my fenced-in garden, which you can imagine did not make me happy.
No, I imagine it wouldn't. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're at the plant nursery and you're shopping around, you're looking, and there's the tag says deer resistance, I'd be highly skeptical. I know I've had deer destroy things at my house that they're supposed to never touch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they're hungry enough, almost anything is food.
Yes, I found that out myself. And the other thing is to think about, you know, this is the wrong season to think about it, but during the rut, you know, it doesn't matter if it's deer resistant or not. If it's the right size tree or in the right spot, those deer, those bucks are going to rub, and that's a problem, right?
It is. And then, and you know, it's one of the worst because you've spent the money to put the tree in, you've taken the time to keep it watered, keep it healthy, and then one evening, you know, a buck comes up, rubs against it, has ruined the tree trunk and basically ruined your tree. There are things you can find and buy, but to wrap around the tree, mm-hmm. kind of like a hard plastic mesh, or you can, you know, you can use things like burlap I've seen black plastic piping, but it is better to have something that's ventilated so you're not holding like moisture right up against the trunk. But it is important to try to protect from that.
Yeah,
especially the new trees.
I use that black plastic like drain pipe, and my local hardware store, Hastings Hardware, they cut it for me, and I only have it around the tree for a short time during the rut, and then I remove it. But that's actually a great suggestion. I should probably drill some holes in there to give it a little bit of ventilation. So we got our tree in the ground. We've talked all about that. But even with weather like we're having like now, we still have to water, or do we wait until things dry out a little bit?
I would say with the amount of water we're getting, you know, 2 inches a day, you're probably okay, especially if it's getting to and around the base of that tree. But I would say that, you know, if your evergreens are one where people think, oh, they've gotten plenty of water, but you know, a lot of times when it's raining, that area underneath your, you know, new spruce tree is not really getting all that wet. My thing is, you should always do about 10 gallons of water per week per inch of trunk. So if you planted a 2-inch maple tree, you should be giving it 20 gallons of water once a week. And if it gets up over like 80, 90 degrees, you probably need to do that twice to three times a week. But the real trick of it is you want it infrequent but deep. So lots of water infrequently, you know, once or twice a week. Going up to it and wetting the mulch for 2 minutes with the hose every day isn't going to do much for your tree.
Mm-hmm. And watering especially important for spring planted trees as we get into the warmer season, right?
Absolutely. You know, especially like we talked about bald and burlap, they've cut 80% of the roots off the tree when they pulled it out of the field and wrapped it up and you bought it. So you have to supplement. It doesn't have that reaching root system to pull in as much water from the surrounding soil. You really do need to make sure you're, you know, stepping up your game. And if you put it, as you said, in the spring, yes, it's still cool. It's not too hot to, you know, really dry the ground out quickly. But as we get into the summer, the other thing is wind. For having a lot of windy days, that can dry things out, and the trees transpire and they go through a lot more water, so you have to up the watering game then as well.
Well, and now we've got to broach the topic that we repeat over and over again, mulching, and mulching it the right way. We got a couple minutes to talk about mulching.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a fan of organic, you know, triple shredded natural mulch, more than like the painted dyed mulch. But putting a good 2 to 3 inch layer around the base of your tree and covering that new root ball and planting hole and I would say, look at the spread of your tree, the canopy, and you want your mulch ring to go just about that far out, 2 to 3 inches, but not right up against the trunk. So if you put it down, you want to get in there with your hands, pull that mulch away from the trunk a good couple inches, and then you're almost making a bit more of like a water well, you know, around it to hold that, you know, the water you're going to be trying to get onto that root ball. That's helpful, and it helps keep it from drying out quite so quickly as well.
I have one really quick question from a listener. She has a sucker growing out of a dogwood. She says it's pretty big. Can it be removed from the tree safely without killing either the tree or the sucker, or do you have to see it to know for sure?
I would say probably need to see it to know for sure, but if it is just a true like water sprout sucker, if you prune it correctly, you know, if you're not sure how to do that, good to look up to find out where the branch collar is, so you're, you know, cutting at the proper angle for healing, then you'd probably be fine.
Okay, good. All right, Eric, as always, thanks for all the information. Great stuff as always, and we will talk to you again soon this season. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. You can ask some questions if you did not get through to the show today at dougoster.com. I do have a couple seats left for my national parks trip this summer, this August. I'm going to 12-day trip in West and looking at all the national parks, as I said, answering questions after the show. All right, Rob, what do you think? Should we do a little Rifleman or should we just say goodbye?
Let's say goodbye.
Lost in Space?
Let's say goodbye.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, thanks. Hand-me-down recipes, old world recipes, and getting ready for Passover. The Coons Cooking Hour right after Rob Taylor checks the news at 8 on KDKA. Good morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.